with Michael Abramson on SAFM.
So that question that seems to have my listeners stumped tonight, if you'll pardon the sporting pun, let's see how you do with it. So I want you to rearrange the following letters to make a place which is topical at the moment in the world of sport. And it is a place I have already mentioned on the show this evening in the first 17 minutes of the show. I've mentioned it at some point. In fact, I think twice I've mentioned it already. So let's see if you know what the place is. Co, C-O, then another C-O. So co, coping, C-O, C-O-P-I-N-G, for, F-O-R, and the color blue, B-L-U-E. So co, coping, for, blue. Take those letters, rearrange them, and give me the name of a place that is topical in the world of sport. Let's see how you do with that tonight. It's not that difficult, but let's see how our listeners do. I know some of you regularly get my quiz questions correct, so I'm relying on you to keep up your perfect record. But let's talk cricket now. So much happening in the world of cricket. We've had cricket chats on virtually every second show for the last about 2 weeks or so. And tonight we've invited back our cricket correspondent, Kevin Rademeyer, to talk to us about all the happenings in the world of sport. Kevin, great to have you back on the show. Good evening.
Good evening, Michael. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing reasonably well, I think. I'm not going to ask you about Luton or about Norwich or anything like that to start our conversation. Let's get straight into the good news today, which is the South African women, a must-win game, first ever meeting against Scotland. It's a game they, on paper, they should have won. They went out there, very, very strong power play at the beginning from our openers, and they posted a tournament high score, effectively, which set them up for a decent win.
They did, and it was great news. After their first victory against West Indies, a couple of days ago, they were up against it after losing to England, and they did brilliantly today. Like you said, they used the power play effectively. They were 64-0 after the six overs, and eventually set 166 as a target. And Scotland obviously fell extremely short of 80 runs, which was the biggest winning margin at that point. Now, obviously, that has changed now with the India-Sri Lankan match that's just finished.
Yeah, just by two runs, better off, as you say, India's margin of victory. We'll talk about that match in a short while. Just in terms of the South African batting performance, three of the top four getting scores in the 40s. Nobody really going on. So I suppose if we have to look at one disappointing aspect is the fact that none of the batters went on past the 40 or 43 that Brits and Cup made. It would have been nice to see at least one of them go on and get a really big score. But I suppose at the end of the day, when you're chasing runs and trying to improve your net run rate, just getting runs on the board is important. Doesn't matter who scores then.
I think that's one aspect, and you're 100% correct. And it's better that a whole lot of people chip in with good strike rates in T20 than one person scoring the bulk. However, I think once again, that's got a lot to do with the wickets. The wicket looked quicker today, but Kapp said in her post-match conference that it has actually been the slowest wicket they've played on in the World Cup so long. She says it didn't give any help to the fast bowlers, including herself, as well as the ball didn't come onto the wicket. So I think that had a big part to play. The spinners once again had a massive role. And I think it's difficult to get in there for a long period. So it's better to make the sun shine as quickly as possible. And like you say, accumulate it amongst the team.
Yeah, absolutely. So Nonkululeko Mlaba, who's been having a tough time of late, bouncing back to form, leading wicket taker now in the tournament. She took 3 for 12 in four overs, three crucial wickets, as it turned out to be, two of them in the top and middle order, which really gave Scotland no real chance of even coming close to the target. How good is it to see her back to form?
It's been brilliant. If the listeners will remember, she was out of form before the World Cup. People were worrying because she does play a pivotal role. In that first match, she got four wickets. Against England, she got one and now three. You're 100% correct in saying that she is the leading wicket taker with eight wickets. And I think the great thing about today was she varied her pace more than normally. The fastest ball was over 93 kilometers an hour, and the slowest ball was, I think, 63 at the end. And that had Scotland confused. A lot of them lost their wickets because of that variation and a little bit of spin. And we're going to need her. We're going to need her in the spinners if we are going to win the semi-final. Looks like it might be Australia at this point. I'm sure we'll get into it. But we are going to need the spinners, especially if the pitchers in Dubai are not going to help the quick bowlers.
All right, Kevin, let's look at this group specifically, Group B, and just consider some of the permutations. South Africa, by virtue of their win today and an improved net run rate over England at the moment, have gone to the top of the table. Although they've played the extra match, England's next match is against Scotland. You'd expect England to steamroll over Scotland in this tournament. So that'll push England up to 6 points effectively, with a probably far superior run rate to net run rate to South Africa. You've also got the situation with West Indies playing Bangladesh in their next game, and whoever wins that is going to go to 4 points and join South African women on four. So it looks like, regardless of what South Africa did today, that match against Bangladesh is still absolutely pivotal.
It is going to be pivotal, and you are correct in your analysis, and I can see you've been watching. It is going to be close. I think net run rate might play a massive role.
Yes.
That victory against the West Indies was crucial. I think we said it a couple of weeks ago, and we said it's going to be between West Indies and South Africa to make that semi-final spot. Mm. South Africa were convincing. Their net run rate today went above England and West Indies. But there are going to be some pivotal games left, and that includes the game against Bangladesh for us. Bangladesh versus West Indies, which is coming up tomorrow. Maybe Bangladesh can have a bit of a surprise. And then a vital game on Tuesday next week between England and West Indies. So there's a lot of games to play still in a very condensed period. England will probably still beat the West Indies. England will probably beat all the remaining games. So it'll be South Africa, and our net run rate is good. I also don't foresee us losing to Bangladesh at this point. Our team is coming together. They've had some great performances. So I don't foresee, and let's touch wood, any surprises in the South Africa-Bangladesh match.
All right. If that happens, then as you paint that picture, if South Africa do beat Bangladesh, South Africa would qualify presumably in second spot in the group, which would set them up against the winners of Group A. Let's talk about Group A. India taking themselves right off the bottom of the table with a very comprehensive win, which has helped their net run rate as well. They've played the extra game in the group compared to the teams around them, and their net run rate is in the positives. But you've got Australia looking particularly good with matches to come against Pakistan and India. You've got Pakistan, who have to play New Zealand, those sides in a similar situation to the West Indies, Bangladesh in their group. One of those sides is going to get on to 4 points when they play each other. So that group looks really tight. Sri Lanka, I think we can safely say, are out of it. They've had three losses in a row, but any two of the other four could make it through. Australia, obviously overwhelming favourites at this stage, but it looks like one of India, Pakistan or New Zealand is going to join them.
And the crucial game, once again, will be India versus Pakistan, like you said. New Zealand also, remember, they beat South Africa in the warm-up. New Zealand have also had a great tournament. They lost to Australia in their last match. But they've got a couple of great all-rounders, which could cause surprises. So that is going to the big shock will be if India get knocked out before the semi-final, which is not likely, but very possible now with that surprise early in the tournament. And the likelihood is that then we will face Australia going into the semi-final, in the first semi-final.
Well, that's a chance, I suppose, Kevin, to get revenge for what happened in Cape Town a few years ago. But if we look at it, India, as you say, it's possible they could get knocked out. They've got one game left, and that game is against Australia. So if India lose that game against Australia, almost certainly they're not going to make it through. So it's a fascinating game. It's going to be tough. Australia will need to motivate themselves, but India especially will go into that game all guns blazing because they have to.
You're correct, and they're playing on Sunday, and I think there'll be great motivation for Australia to knock India out. I think those two teams went in, at least in the top three, Australia, India, and England. It'll be great for them to knock out one of the big powerhouses. So I think they'll have more than enough motivation to knock them out. But that is going to be a crucial game on Sunday afternoon, and might open up the door for New Zealand. I'll suspect that New Zealand will go through in Group A, along with Australia.
That's going to be my next question. So to ask you to give me the four teams, you've already said England and South Africa in our group, if things go according to plan, and Australia to top their group, and you're suggesting New Zealand might pip India or Pakistan in the other group?
New Zealand are the form team at the moment. Like I said, they had a brilliant match against us in the warm-up. They've also had a good tournament up to now. They ran Australia pretty close. So, yeah, I believe on those wickets they'll be very effective, and we'll see those four teams in the semi-final. If we'll be able to beat Australia, well, that's another thing.
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. But I suppose we first have to get there, then we can look at that in the days ahead. Let me ask you about the test match taking place in Multan, Pakistan against England. Over 1,000 runs scored in the first 3 days, just 13 wickets going down. We've had 5 centurions in that match so far. Is the pitch really that much in favour of the batting? It certainly looks to be the case. And if it is, then the England's captain in this particular match, Ollie Pope, must be kicking himself because he went out for a duck.
Look, that wicket is dead, and they called it on the first morning. They said that there's going to be loads and loads of runs. It's not going to be easy for the bowlers. And I think they are toiling. I don't see any other result except, obviously, it being played out as a draw, unfortunately. But the batsmen are putting their pockets full of runs in, and that's not a bad thing in Test cricket at the moment.
Absolutely so. So I suppose Test runs are Test runs, regardless of what pitch they scored on and how things happen. Kevin, give us an insight as to what's happening in the CSA T20 domestic competition. I was at the Wanderers on Sunday, saw a very interesting match between the Lions and the Dolphins, which was a lot closer in the end than it should have been. But I see the Lions in action tonight. They are currently involved in a match as well, and the Titans going well. We spoke about the Northwest Dragons, who are having a fantastic season. Just sum up for us effectively what's going on in that competition.
I can tell you, I've actually just tried to find a quiet room here. I'm at Supersport Park.
Oh, okay. And
your other correspondent, Ken Boland, is actually commentating for the YouTube channel, so making some noise in the media area. So I had to find a quiet area. And they actually had a delayed match due to rain. They are now restricted to 15 overs a side. The Titans are currently 29-1. The Dolphins, like you say, have had a horrible start to the season. They haven't actually won a game. They're playing the Northwest Dragons today, who are, believe it or not, at the top of the log after 3 matches and doing excellently. And they, like you said, the Lions are in there as well. What I would like to say this is, it's going to be quite interesting. A lot of the players have returned today. Yeah, at the Titans, Clarsons is playing. Petla Choir, who's come back from the Island Series. Carl Ferrains went straight into the Western Province team. Stubbs Brietske is playing for the Warriors. Maharaj is actually back for the Dolphins together with Jason Smith, who had a brilliant match in that last ODI against Ireland. So things are hotting up, and we've got some of the superstars back in the domestic game.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear. So just explain the format. It's a single round, so I presume that means with 8 teams in the log that 4 of the teams play 4 home games, 3 away games, and the other 4 play 3 home games and 4 away games. And then what happens is it's straight to semifinals and finals, or what's the format?
No, normally it would be a semifinal, but they've changed the format this year into the qualifier, eliminator, qualifier, and then the final. So more of an IPL kind of vibe, because it was such a quick series this year. If you remember last year, and the listeners remember last year, it was actually a double fixture, home and away, but it carried on a bit long. So they try to condense it this year and then make the playoffs a little bit more interesting.
Okay, Kevin, I think we need to leave it at that point, but thanks so much once again. It's always great to have you on the show, because we always have such a comprehensive chat, and you able in a 10 or 15 minute interview to fill us in on everything that's happening in the world of cricket. So very exciting to chat to you. Best of luck for Luton going forward. I hope you move up into your rightful place near the top of the table, and enjoy the cricket. Let's hope that your prediction comes true and South Africa beat Bangladesh and at least make it through to the semifinals, if not go all the way this particular time round. Once again, thanks so much for chatting to us.
Thank you, Michael. Have a good evening.